Well, good evening. Welcome to the Vibrational Voyage program. This is the second to last Vibrational Voyage program. It's a joy to be with you. What a beautiful full moon we have out there. Oh, and you know that this full moon, it'll be exact tomorrow afternoon, and within hours after this full moon, we're going to have the alignment, although it's kind of going on already, we have the alignment with the center of the galaxy, full moon with the center of the galaxy. So that one is always a blessing, and it happens right around the time of the northern solstice, the summer solstice. Summer solstice in the northern hemisphere, that is. So, I should mention, you're listening to KKUP Cupertino on 91.5 FM. So, good fortune to have here a guest tonight. We'll be hearing from him in just a minute. We have Tiger here tonight. Tiger Windwalker's here. Just got back, literally just got off the plane about an hour ago. I went and collected him from the airport, and we had just enough time to take his stuff back to my house and then get over here for the show tonight. So I'm happy, very happy to have him here. Hey there, say hi, Tiger.
Aloha to you, Tony, and all the listening audience. Just having a little recovery time here as we disembark from the tuna can or the sardine can, kind of stretch our legs out a little bit and get back to what it feels like to be human.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, I'm so glad the timing worked out for this, and it seems to be superb timing with the universe, with the full moon tonight, so beautiful up in the sky. So I know you've been looking at the alignments for not only this full moon, but for coming events, and there's a lot of them in this summer and this fall. So we're going to talk about those celestial alignments that are moving right in the midst of our experience right now. But maybe you want to just share a little bit about Hawaii. You were just in Hawaii on the Big Island for the last month. Maybe tell us a little bit about anything that you notice about where you've just been that seems relevant and salient.
I'd be most happy to do that. I just want to also acknowledge you, Tony, for inviting me to come on. And as you mentioned, this is the second to the last program for you. I know you've had quite a long tenure here at KKUP.
Yeah.
And I know you've done your service and elevated the spirit around here and taught people how to be on the radio on that side of the table, that side of the microphone. So I just want to acknowledge you and for also give you credit from the whole community, maybe that you don't hear about, for the good works you've done.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that. And it's been a real joy. And I'm not ending my relationship with KKUP, but I am relinquishing this time slot. I don't have any other time slot that I'm assigned to currently. There was one I was doing on Thursday mornings, but that one I haven't done for quite a long time. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities that I'll take another time slot in the near future or sometime in the future. But I want to give it a rest and kind of focus on some other things right now. And actually, the things that I want to focus on are kind of more along the lines of the astronomy work that I enjoy so much. And I get a big kick out of sharing with you here. And that's what we're going to focus on tonight. So thank you for that acknowledgement, Tiger.
Yeah, so something else, we might as well start from a good trunk and make our tree. So let me refer back to you again there, Tony. Just for the listening audience's, you know, information, Tony and I met in 1993. And, well, that's a good, what now? 18 or 19 years.
19, or 18, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think perhaps within about 15 minutes of meeting, we were doing what we do here on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so for 18 years, we've been doing this. And a lot of times, contemplating an event that has happened, a vision quest or an adventure that we've taken, or we may even be in the middle of one of these processes out in the wilderness or anywhere, and this dialogue has been going on for 18 years. So you, the listener audience, is fortunate to be able to take advantage of the skills and the expertise that we have developed in those years.
Well, and you who are listening have been part of the adventure, whether you're tuning into this for the very first time tonight or whether you've listened over the years. Tiger's been a frequent guest, and we'll talk about the adventures that we've had here on the radio during the interviews that we've had. And tonight, you know, you'll get to hear some of the experiences and some of the discussion and insights that both of us are feeling and that comes out in the form of our conversation. So you're part of that. We're very happy to have you along with us.
That indeed is true. So anyway, you know, I cannot emphasize enough to the listening audience right now how propitious and pregnant, full of possibilities, the situation that we're in right now.
Mm.
This is a powerfully pregnant time of fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And the last little step that's needed for this to happen is our participation. So in this, the 18 years Tony and I have been friends, we have participated at a very high level, sometimes taking risks. But the fruits of that, I mean, what has emerged from that has been, you know, a deepening sense of being here in the third dimension, being in this life. Also, you know, more passion, more ability to express, and the wisdom that we've gained from our journeys. So I want to speak to... Now, we're getting a little bit of feedback here. I'm not quite sure what that is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's... It's actually probably your headphone. Turn your headphone down, headphone level down just a little bit, that little knob.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's probably what that is.
Okay.
That's what you're hearing.
Okay, all right, thank you. So.
I still have your mic level up.
Yeah, okay. So I really want to address the people that are feeling this change that's about to occur. I want to address those people because we're about to experience a great opening up of limiting structures of all kinds of forms, crystalline forms of organization and control. These things are going to crack and shatter and yield like soft petals on a flower. And we're going to get to be the bees that fly in and fly out. You know, we are going to get to take wing here. All right. So this metaphor, the metaphor of the caterpillar and the butterfly,
mm-hmm.
is, I think, so appropriate, as I have read, and we could spend hours talking about details here,
mm-hmm.
because we're not talking about just one transit. We're talking about an unfolding period of time that's just full of powerful catalyzing events. Mm-hmm. So anyway, what I get, seeing that Pluto is emerging on the scene now, we've got Uranus is going to be squaring Pluto, and this begins on July 1st, which will be the third in the series of eclipses. That'll be a solar one. And from that period, for the next 5 years until March 16th of 2015.
Yeah, the next 4 years.
Yes, the next 4 years, we're going to have nine aspects.
Exact.
Exact aspects of Uranus squaring Pluto.
Right.
Okay, so now we've already gotten a taste of some of this.
Right.
We've had revolutions afoot in the Muslim world.
Hmm.
Okay. We also have had strange weather, and we've had lots of earthquakes. You know, so people are, you know, people know that there's something strange going on. They can see it and they can feel it. And there are many people who have lost their homes and lost their lives.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's, you know, they think the economy, well, maybe it'll double dip. And then, so they're thinking more mortality here in a lot of ways about the job situation and everything. So when I think about this transit that's coming, you know, I'd just like to say, in my opinion, that these are now the end times. They begin, you know, they've begun. Just June 1st here, but and by time July 1st rolls around and we have that exact square of Pluto and Uranus and opposing also the Sun and the Moon, that's going to be a very powerful time. That'll be a grand cross. It'll be Saturn squaring Pluto, squaring Uranus, and squaring the Sun and the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
That will be a solar eclipse with a direct opposition from Pluto. So what I'm basically doing is declaring that the end times are here, and it's going to ramp up, okay?
Yeah.
Because it's the end of what, you know? It's the end of a lot of limiting structure and a lot of co-optation of our sovereignty by a small group of people. And you can throw the church in there too.
Yeah.
Because we're not done with the church. We're not done with institutionalized religion. Just the Piscean Age ended, but we still got the hangover. All these things need to resolve themselves. If we're going to head into the Aquarian Age, that's an age of absolute equality, you know, that peers and your community, everybody's an equal, everybody has equal opportunity to move ahead. Everybody's desires and goals are honored and facilitated to the best possible way by the community, and that's the Aquarian Age. And going where no man has gone before, either. That's expanding our horizons. So that's what we're looking at. Things are going to be ramping up here, and we're heading into a crucial make-or-break crossroads situation.
Well, one of the things you're illustrating here, too, is that things are ending. This has the unmistakable quality of a destructive, a disassembling process that's going on as well. We've had that for the last couple of years. We kind of had it with the Saturn-Uranus opposition that we've had since Election Day in November of 2008. But it's getting even stronger now, and we knew this, and it has been kind of predicted for a long time. But we're actually seeing it. And so the thing that I'm aware of with that, too, is you're speaking the words that it's an ending that we're seeing. We know what happens with endings. Endings lead to beginnings.
That's right.
And so there's just as big a story here, but we've got to deal, honestly, with the endings that we're confronting.
Well, that's why I said I was going to lead with caterpillar and butterfly, and I didn't. So now it's time to get back to it,
right?
Because this is perfect. What I want to do as a communicator, a teacher, a poet, is I want to empower people with imagery that really sets them free and makes them feel good about their potential.
Mm.
Okay? So the image, the life cycle of the caterpillar and the butterfly are very descriptive here. And it must be hell for the caterpillar to basically die and dissolve. And I would assume there is no contiguous consciousness in that process, that it gets so messed up that the caterpillar may just fall asleep. I mean, he is in there, and he's in there in the cocoon, so, you know, it's really, he goes into suspended animation,
mm-hmm.
and then he wakes up out of it, and he's a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
So these outside planets that are energizing us, what, you know, can call it archetypal or energetic symbology, resonances in the fabric of our solar system and beyond,
mm-hmm.
these energies want us to wake up to our caterpillar potential, I mean our butterfly potential.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we're all doing the 6 a.m. commute like caterpillars,
yeah.
and we're going along the same track every day and back and forth.
Right.
And, you know, we're living the lives of the caterpillars. We're not spending much time tuned in to the deeper structures of who we are, because the butterfly lives within the caterpillar. The butterfly is there.
Yes.
Now, something's going to happen genetically, energetically, divinely, and there's going to be, you know, some chemical reformulations and, you know, dissolution and relocation and crystallization and, you know, and there's an intelligence in that process that culminates in a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we go from being these lowly, trodding, morose, dead-ended, dumbed-down caterpillars? How do we do that? How do we go to our absolute, essential next step, evolutionary step, is the butterfly? Unless we have some help on the outside to mess things up, get our attention, you know? To get our, so the forms, the Capricornian forms, need to break down to release the energy and to release the possibilities of new exploration. When that happens, once we get past the fear stage, our curiosity kicks in, and then we start exploring all the new parameters and the new possibilities.
Right.
So I want people to think about caterpillar and into butterfly. I don't want you to think about Armageddon. You know, and or these some other scenarios where, you know, the population is going to be thinned out with atomic weapons or whatever they've got. HARP, you know, they'll just kill us with sound or microwave energy or whatever. I don't want people to think that way. Because the sooner you get it, the sooner you have that dreams, the sooner that you feel those wings behind your shoulders, then the more beautiful and joyous this transformation is going to be.
Well, and there's something that we're becoming more capable, more attentive to in the process as well. One of the metaphors that's been speaking to me really loudly for the last couple of years has been this metaphor of the garden. And, you know, it seems like an old, old metaphor. It's one of our oldest, this idea of a garden. And it was a tragic story. Well, now there's something different afoot with the garden. And now instead of a lost earthly garden, we're beginning to realize and discover that we've always been in the midst of a garden, but it's a much bigger garden. It's a celestial garden. And everything that shines and everything that lives is what that garden is. And so we're part of that garden. And it seems that this garden has many, many different facets and dimensions. And one of the most beautiful flowers in the whole garden is attention, human attention in particular. And that flowering has a fruit. And whether we realize it or not, we're already seeing that fruit because of the way our attention has been aligned and construed over the generations and centuries. But that's not the only way it can be construed. And as the flower begins to become aware of the whole garden, the flower begins to see that it's part of something that's so immense and so beautiful. Well, that flowering, that attending, begins to bring forth a different type of fruit. And so it's mixing metaphors a little bit. But that the abilities that become enabled in us as we let go of the caterpillar consciousness and spread our wings or open our petals. Well, if we go out as the butterfly, now we have the ability to move and flutter around to see all of the garden and behold that beauty that's blooming in everything. It just seems to me that there's a very strong stream of potential and likelihood that starts to emerge when we move our attention off of all of those crazy, insane fixations and possibilities that we've been kind of hemmed in by. And they're getting more and more intense, you know?
Well, you know what they say, bro, is that butterflies fly because caterpillars let go of their heaviness. So, can you imagine what it would be like to be able to let go of all your limiting beliefs and attitudes, your whole emotional history, and everything, routine and habit that makes you feel heavy or less than or unworthy, to let go of all of that, we might fly. We might be able to have a communion that is glorious but also still part of the earth.
Yeah, it seems that gaining our bearings with where we actually are, where our feet are, no matter how heartbreaking our circumstance appears to be, there is magic afoot in the place where we tread. And that is here. It's still with us, perhaps even more radiantly visible and more beautifully available than we've ever recognized up to this point. So there is certainly some good news in this whole thing. You know, one of the things that also got my attention, something that's happening right now, you and I kind of touched on this a few weeks ago. Right now, we're also having Jupiter trine Pluto, and that's fairly short. That one won't last for years and years. It's going to be happening three times. It's happening right now. It'll happen, actually, the next exact hit will be October 28th.
Yeah.
And then it'll happen, I think, next February or March. I forget. Well, you know what's funny about this? Is so that event, the Jupiter trine Pluto, that will bracket the entire nine exact hits for Uranus square Pluto, the thing that seems so challenging and daunting. Because in that 4 years, what's going to happen is Jupiter's going to go across and trine Pluto again. And as soon as the Uranus square Pluto is over, we're going to have another series of Jupiter trine Pluto. So that hit me just this weekend. It's actually the exactly before and after the exact squares. Mm-hmm. And it seems that that puts it into a context, and it gives us a little bit of a graceful or even magical possibility that's kind of providing a context and an envelope in which this very challenging series of
well, sure. Astrologers look at these kind of things so that you develop a sense. Of course, if you're, you know, as long as you're not an Armageddon type person, but I mean, you know, you develop a sense for the qualities of these transits and transitional periods and the interplay of all the different planets, and you develop a sense for it and the outcome or the spirit of it, or, you know, and I've seen this, you know, I really do believe that we're going to make this transition, however you want to talk about it, going to a new level of consciousness, growing up, becoming, you know, becoming stellar, or, you know, space travel or whatever else, and a significant number of people becoming enlightened, because bottom line, the whole game is about consciousness. So I kind of lost my train of thought there.
But. Well, let me have you touch for a minute, because I really loved what you said when you saw that Pluto trine. Your Jupiter trine Pluto relationship.
Yes.
You hit on that right away when I first heard you talk about it. I thought that's a really beautiful thing to touch on, and, you know, to talk about a little bit of the resonance and potential that you feel.
The things that really are saving us is things like you know, Jupiter trine Pluto, because what it means, if it was just bare-knuckled Pluto out there.
Yeah.
You're talking about a military takeover.
Repression.
Because the government, these organizations feel the power. I mean, it works two ways, folks. Pluto works as a repressive agent, and Pluto works as a transformative agent. So it's possible that you get the two sides duking it out, and it's happening in Syria and, you know, Libya. I mean, it didn't turn out like Egypt. And then maybe Egypt won't last long until more convulsions and conniptions and birth pangs. Some of these processes take a while to straighten themselves out, especially when you get women in Egypt saying, hey, look, while you're doing all of this, how about giving us some rights? Mm-hmm. You know, how about changing, you know, we'd like to not have to wear these dresses all the time in 100 degrees weather. What they have to fully cover their bodies. So you got women's rights going on. You got different issues, young people and these cyber networks. You know, you've got a lot, the whole many strata of the society is going on. So anyway, that Jupiter conjunct Pluto or trine Pluto is going to take the edge off of repression. People will say, "Wow, it's really in the interest of the society." You know, that we move, that we recrystallize at a more democratic, egalitarian, harmonious level, because it's bad for business and all of this other stuff. Our young kids keep getting killed, you know. So that's, people are more, tend more to think in those terms rather than being confrontational in the sense that, you know, this will be an absolute cataclysm, because the forces are so opposed to each other. That's not to say that we don't have a lot of the oppositional energy there, you know, the contradictory energy, because it is. The duality is really strong right now. The polarization is really strong.
Yeah.
But this would be a good one. And also the relationship of what Neptune has been doing over the last few years, Neptune and Chiron being conjunct, and Jupiter having jumped in there about, what, a year and a half ago or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so there's been some really good things. And then the overall action of Uranus, that we really have entered since the equinox, the spring equinox, when the sun was conjunct
Uranus.
That was another powerful time. And we could write a book on just the last 2 years here, yeah. What's happening, how things are accelerating and unfolding. So I have a positive point of view. And just from a personal side, I just recently heard that I'm losing my job. It's kind of like a caretaker developer thing. So, and I have like, you know, 7 more months and then I have to do something else or whatever. And what I realized there is that my contract is over. Mm-hmm. So these energies are moving through us. A lot of people are going to be looking at, my contract is over. And what's the conclusion? Well, energy is totally opened up to express itself now, and I will expect offers from the universe forthcoming from a multitude of directions. That's the spin you put on it, which is good. Because the thing about also the Pluto energy is it can take us into a confrontation with our dark side of our soul, mm-hmm. and get us into a kind of a compulsive relationship that pulses between vengeance and hostility and anger and mm-hmm. things like that, and, mm-hmm. and not being able to forgive wounds and things. So people, that end of Pluto, will stimulate a lot of people when it emerges, because they'll see how fixated they are and how unfinished with a lot of things. So those folks are going to have to work on updating themselves and doing some healing agenda. Otherwise, they'll just get into pitched battles with people and vengefulness. Okay, but the higher expressions of Pluto will be greater clarity, a greater pinpoint attentivity and focus, such that, you know, you can solve the riddles of life. You know, you can. And so when, what will happen with Jupiter trining Pluto is some of the insoluble, impenetrable problems that we've looked at will be solved. Mm-hmm. And once that becomes known, by acclamation, everybody will say, make it so. And so these the people who are resistant in the bureaucracies will have to move aside. They will have to adapt. Mm-hmm. Because by acclamation, and I mean far and away the majority, that people will insist on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and these trines are in Earth. Pluto is in Capricorn. Jupiter right now is in Taurus. 4 years from now, Jupiter will be in Virgo. Pluto will still be in Capricorn. So they're earthy. They're going to be practical discoveries and insights. And I think one of the things I heard you say that really got my attention, really perked my attention up when you said it, that you felt some sort of great innovations, potentials for practical discoveries, maybe, you know, technological, scientific discoveries, things that would have a practical and a profound and helpful impact.
Yes.
With that.
As long as it's not a weapon, it can't kill anybody. We're already maxed out on those.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're really flush with that. Technologies to wipe out, maim, and kill. And, you know, we could make the whole planet a desert. Okay, we're flush there. Now, let's see, where are we deficient? Just about everything else. No budget for anything else. So, you know, we really want to encourage that kind of stuff. And what it'll do as things come online, like better batteries and ways of not using petroleum products for travel and, you know, distribution, transportation. That'll just start to take the load off the planet, you see, off the biosphere and off of Gaia, off Gaia's shoulders, because Gaia's looking up and at us, and she's saying, well, you know, I know my brother Pluto is going to do what he needs to do, but I can wake these people up too. And so the consequences is if we keep going the way we're going, we're going to be getting some really powerful wake-up calls. And it's going to be very, very uncomfortable to have to confront yourself and how you play a part in this, you know? So like I was saying, I'm going to be losing my job. So when I'm saying, okay, contract's over, energy's available now, offer should be forthcoming, right? Well, mm-hmm. Okay. And then, you know, if you want to play with affirmation and visioning and what you want, you know, you can do that. You can also just feel more expanded and more available and more energetic because there you are. But the thing is, we got to show up every day, 100%. We have to show up and we have to pay attention,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then we have to look and pray for positive outcome. Those are my three tips that I offer people. Show up 100%. Of course, anything that's keeping you from really being here, you're back into the Pluto dark side where you have to do your healing work, and you're going to cycle in there and mm-hmm. spiral around in there until you get your healing work done. Mm. But you have to do it fast. You don't have the... So doing that, you know, being here 100%, paying attention to what's going on in your immediate locality, mm-hmm. what's going on around you. That means pumping up your senses so that if something's off, you can catch it, so you can be grounded and centered, that you can catch it. And maybe if you're really lucky, you can anticipate it, like the dumb ants do and the ground creatures in Indonesia before the tidal wave, the tsunami hit. They all evacuated and went uphill. And the people are just sitting there scratching their head. Well, what do you think that's about, huh? So we have that same intelligence. We start opening up to it and being peaceful enough and that we can direct our attention. It's going to be like a real sensitive microphone. We're going to hear these things. Okay, and then the final thing is to, you know, look for positive, heartful outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cultivate a heart. You know, a sense of compassion and love that will bring about positive outcomes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that keeps it all clean, because if you don't have the heartfulness in there, see the way it works with Pluto, let me just tell you the hierarchy here. Basement level is the scorpion. That's a symbol of Pluto. Okay, and the scorpion lives basically in the dark, underground, and, you know, can be vengeful and can give you, you know, a sting you. And so then when you move up, then you have an above-ground creature, the serpent, the snake, who's very good at looking and seeing. He's got the detached thing really well. But still, you know, he might want to eat you, you know, or he can afflict you know, real poisonous bite. Okay, well then, that represents the caterpillar portion. Okay, then when you move above the horizon, and what Pluto is, what it's become now is an eagle. Okay, and so instead of the poison now, you've got sharp talons and really acute eyesight. So that again. The ability to see clearly and in detail has really maxed out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's and the symbol of our country is the eagle. So mm-hmm. we're playing with that Scorpio energy all the time. You know, we are the number one military in the world. Okay, but there's one more level you go with the evolution of Scorpionic energy, and that is the dove. See, so the top three, you've got the top two, you've got the eagle and you've got the dove. That's the butterfly. That's the being that can fly above things
mm-hmm.
and survey and see clearly, not only the tapestries but the geography, but also the beauty. You know, can see the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and then that the dove represents the transmutation of love. So that's the ultimate. So you take this very, you know, killer energy that's really the warrior energy, and the warrior gets transformed into a spirit warrior, a rainbow warrior. And that's what I am. I'm a rainbow warrior. okay. So I have that might. And then you take the inner qualities of the warrior and you put them at service to love. So all of these wonderful qualities of the warrior, paying attention, being aware, being alert, being ingenious, having a focused sense of will, you know, and intention, those become then servants of the love, the feeling of love.
Yeah.
And so that's how a rainbow warrior can kind of make up for all the times when he took life in a different way, give life.
And the things that kind of resonate there too is now Uranus, for the first time in 84 years, is back in Aries. For these next 7 years, Uranus in Aries. And so that also says acceleration, mm-hmm. and initiation,
yeah.
discoveries, but it's also about action. Mm-hmm. It's about taking, and there's also an intuitive element there with Uranus to discover,
yes.
action or to become
it's
conscious.
Captain Kirk. It's Captain Kirk to a T.
Mm.
So that's another part of the pantheon that Uranus in Aries is a benefic. Because what happened when Uranus was in Pisces is we all got morose and depressed, mm-hmm. for the economy and the death of the American dream and everything. And it just goes round and round in circles in your mind and in your emotions, you know, and they feed each other. So that wasn't a good connection.
Right.
But Uranus and Aries, benefic, very good. The energies are very good together. So look... Oh, I lost my job. But you're feeling energetic. So why not go look for another job when you feel the juice, when you feel like you can take it on. You take life on and its demands. And, you know, we're not going to be here forever. So whenever we get some juice to help us take on life, you know, and be able to play with it at a high embodied level, then we want that. We want that support. So again, that would say that Uranus in Aries is good for the next seven. That bodes well for us coming through this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we have Neptune just now getting back into the sign of its rulership, and it hasn't been there for 164 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't go permanently back into Pisces until next year. But right now it's in there. It's going to back up a little bit and just go back out into the edge of Aquarius. But Neptune now is back in there. So we have Uranus and Neptune still about 30 degrees apart, almost exactly. And they're both moving in a way and into signs where they have a different quality.
Yes.
And perhaps a greater strength for...
Yes, a benefic.
Yeah.
So I would put that in there, too. I did mention Chiron and Neptune and the action of them over the last 2 years.
Right.
And how they've been in sextile to some of the big players, too, giving us support the whole time. Yeah, so Neptune in its own sign and joining Chiron, the wounded healer. So this would be like a bodhisattva person, the healer person that would feel necessary, first be willing to take on the healing, go into the healing crisis and take on that adventure, and that discipline, and also come out of it being a bodhisattva, being someone who really wants to be of service and to help others. This is good news. This is very good news. And they're going to continue to track each other for quite a long time.
Right. Yeah. Neptune and Chiron will still ride together for quite a while.
So what that means is that through Neptune, the inspiration and support from the highest places, the highest energetic frequencies are coming into our realm, from the realm of spirit. We are mainlining to spirit and to our allies and to the power of dreams and visions and guidance. So there you go. It's a benefic. And that's why I think we're going to make it through.
Yeah, those are good signs. And I think especially now, it's so worthwhile to point to these things as best we can and let people know about them. Let me let you know, we just have a few minutes left, but we're having a conversation tonight. This is live. You're listening to Vibrational Voyage on KKUP. And this is a live conversation with Tiger Windwalker and your host. My name is Tony McGettigan. And you can find recorded archives of these conversations. There's quite a few of them that are available. If you want to go to the oops, I got somebody at the door. There we go. Ron's on his way in. You can find archives of this show at New Consciousness Risings. It's my website, ncrising.com. And you can find a lot of Tiger's work at his website and his poetry and his Walk in Beauty work, which is also the title of his book of poetry that you can get. The website for him is tigerwindwalker.com, tigerwindwalker.com. You can also find Tiger on Twitter through that website, tigerwindwalker.com, or you can just go to Twitter and do a search for Coyote Dolphin. That's his username on Twitter. And so I do some stuff up there, too. Not as much lately, but you can find that at New Consciousness Rising. There's a link there as well. NC Rising is the Twitter username that I use. So, always love to hear from you if you have an interest in anything that's in the archives or on the website. Go take a look, and if you'd like, send an email or say hello, or you can say hello to Tiger, find him there on Twitter or through his website. So usually we try to include some poems, too. So you might have some other thoughts on what we were discussing there with Uranus and Neptune. But
well, there's another. I'll do this briefly. There's another tie-in talking about having a conduit, a direct link-up with spirit dimensions, the higher dimensions, through Neptune and Chiron. But something is happening tonight that also gives us another kind of link-up, and you can see it astronomically. So, see, we're not just, blowing smoke out the side of our mouth here. We got the facts, we got the math, we have the coordinates. So, what we have in the chart for tonight is the moon being in alignment with the center of our galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which means that, since we have a full moon, it's an opposition. So, we've got Mercury conjunct the sun in Gemini, opposing the moon at the center of the galaxy in Sagittarius. And then Antares is there. You can tell them later about that. But so what happens is that this eclipse, there's a lens that's happening because it's a lunar eclipse. And what's happening is that the spirit from the center of our galaxy is going to shine through the lens of that eclipsed moon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to do two things. Number one, it's going to agitate and energize all of the past stuff that we're carrying at a cellular level and a deep emotional level. It's going to agitate that. And to throw it up into our consciousness so that we have to deal with it. And again, that may be people feel like they got to do some healing work. But the other thing that it's doing, because it's coming from the center of the galaxy, it's the wake-up call. Because deep in, the moon rules our deep subconscious, all the way down to the soul level, the cellular level. And that level is where the caterpillar knows he's a butterfly. So we should celebrate this.
Mm-hmm.
We should celebrate it. And what happens is that you got to know there's a different way to deal with emotions than there is with the contents of your mind. You'll see that we have Mercury opposing the moon. So Mercury is going to be struggling with trying to get a handle on this in definable, measurable terms. And the moon and people, their subconscious, it's going to have feelings ranging anywhere from ecstasy to nightmare. So you've got to know when it's okay that you can allow the feeling states to come through, because we're really good at repressing that.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned that's why the contents there are so powerful. They have been repressed. The eclipse comes along, opens it up, activates it, and it's being shot. It's being total in alignment. It's being lasered from the center of the galaxy, where the new possibilities are being born there, the new archetypes are being born there, and then fed out to the farther reaches. Probably not. They probably mutually appear. So as they appear there, they are appearing in you and me. But we may not be able to see it because we have clouded vision. Heal the vision so you can be a good Scorpio warrior and use Pluto. Heal the vision and then see what your destiny is. See and really embrace and feel that you are a butterfly.
It's a very nice observation for the full moon in Sagittarius. So go out there and see that moon. Now, the cool thing is, the center of the galaxy, we know where the galactic centers, we've got it pretty well nailed down. There's a black hole, so there's a radio source there, big center of mass there. But you know what? It's big. And if you ever get out where it's really dark, it's big. It's about 50 degrees across. So the moon, where it is right now, even though it won't hit the closest point to the center for approximately another 20 to 24 hours, it's there in the within the light and the glow of the bulge of the galaxy as we see it visually, as we look towards Scorpio and Sagittarius there. So get out and see it. It's hard to see the Milky Way with the moonlight, of course, but it's there, and you can feel it. So, Tiger, you got maybe a little poem or something?
I got one for you.
Okay, good.
This, by the way, if you go to Twitter, you click on my favorites, and I have archives of stuff that I've done that goes way back. You might be interested. But here's a poem I wrote. Heaven on Earth. Above the clamoring of men, beyond the desire for riches and the power of fools, and the revenge of the righteous, and the recriminations of the abandoned. Just give me my portion in beauty. Here, my humble bowl, fill it with the snow of cherry blossoms and the fragrances of timid goddesses. This is my nurturance and heart's desire.
Very lovely. So I want to let you guys know again that this week, and we're just about to wrap the show up, but this week and next week are the last Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Vibrational Voyage shows. And there'll actually be a program committee meeting 2 weeks from tonight. And this time slot is up for the interested parties who want to pitch their proposals. And so what I'm saying is that it should be a new voice, and there'll be some new programming on the air here in 2 weeks. But I'll be back next week, and we'll do the final show. And it's the solstice. So this week we're celebrating the full moon. Sure hope you've enjoyed the conversation tonight with Tiger. I certainly have. But You know, stay tuned this week, because we have this beautiful energy building right now, and next week is the solstice. So I'll look forward to seeing you for one last Tuesday night vibrational voyage next Tuesday night, the northern solstice, summer solstice for all of us. So any closing thoughts there, Tiger? Got any other poems or anything you want to wrap up? We got like a minute till I got to play some music and get us out of here.
Well, I have another one here. I'll read this one, called Natural Man. It was my forays into nature where I chose to confide the neuroses of a modern man. The spirits of wild places embraced me. Every time was different. When it was time to cry, there was the ocean and streams to swallow my tears. When I was angry, I burned things in a fire. When I sought inspiration, the clouds took on shapes. When I needed hope, I planted seeds in the earth. Luckily, I brought my pad and pencil along, recording the rings of rebirth that radiated throughout the trunk of my emerging self. Now there's a book of my own therapy, done the natural way.
Thank you so much for listening tonight, and thank you, Tiger, for being here. Tiger Windwalker, you can find his stuff at tigerwindwalker.com, and you can find the show archives for this program at ncrising.com. You're listening to KKUP Cupertino, 91.5 FM. God bless you. Enjoy that full moon. And stay tuned now for the Kingman. He's coming up next, bringing you some wonderful music from now all the way until 3 a.m. All right, God love you. See you next week.